To this evil thought, the devil, seeing a way open to him, entered the convent and took possession of the brother. On this, St. Francis, like a vigilant pastor ever watching over his flock, seeing the brother and commanded him to confess immediately the hatred he had nourished in his heart toward his neighbor, which had caused him to fall into the power of the enemy. The brother, much alarmed and seeing that his saintly father had penetrated into his deepest thoughts, confessed the evil feeling which had entered into his heart, and humbly asked pardon and penance. When he had done this, and being absolved of his sin, had accepted his penance, St. Francis beheld the devil to flee away, and the brother, being freed from such a cruel monster, through the charity of his good shepherd, thanked God, and returned to the little flock of the saintly pastor, corrected and strengthened, and lived afterwards in great sanctity. Chapter 24. How St. Francis converted to the faith the Sultan of Babylon. St. Francis, urged by zeal for the faith of Christ and by a wish to suffer martyrdom, took with him one day 12 of his most holy brethren and went beyond the sea with the intention of going straight to the Sultan of Babylon. They arrived in a province belonging to the Saracens, where all the passes were guarded by men so cruel that no Christian who passed that way could escape being put to death. Now it pleased God that St. Francis and his companions should not meet with the same fate, but they were taken prisoners, and after being bound and ill-treated, were led before the Sultan. Then St. Francis, standing before him, inspired by the Holy Spirit, preached most divinely the faith of Christ, and to prove the truth of what he said, professed himself ready to enter into the fire. Now the Sultan began to feel a great devotion towards him, both because of the constancy of his faith and because he despised the things of this world, for he had refused to accept any of the presents which he had offered to him, and also because of his ardent wish to suffer martyrdom. From that moment he listened to him willingly and begged him to come back often, giving both him and his companions leave to preach wheresoever they pleased. He likewise gave them a token of his protection, which would preserve them from all molestation. At length St. Francis, seeing he could do no more good in these parts, was warned by God to return with his brethren to the land of the faithful. Having assembled his companions, they went together to the Sultan to take leave of him. The Sultan said to him, "Brother Francis, most willingly would I be converted to the faith of Christ, but I fear to do so now, for if the people knew it, they would kill both me and thee and all thy companions. As thou mayest still do much good, and I have certain affairs of great importance to conclude, I will not at present be the cause of thy death and of mine. But teach me how I can be saved, and I am ready to do as thou shalt order." On this St. Francis made answer, "My Lord, I will take leave of thee for the present, but after I have returned to my own country, when I shall be dead and gone to heaven, by the grace of God I will send thee two of my friars, who will administer to thee the holy baptism of Christ, and thou shalt be saved, as the Lord Jesus has revealed to me. And thou in the meantime shalt free thyself from every hindrance, so that when the grace of God arrives, thou mayest be found well disposed to faith and devotion." The Sultan promised to do so, and did as he had promised. Then St. Francis returned with his company of venerable and saintly brethren, and after a few years ending his mortal life, he gave up his soul to God. The Sultan, having fallen ill, awaited the fulfillment of the promise of St. Francis, and placed guards in all the passes, ordering them, if they met two brothers in the habit of St. Francis, to conduct them immediately to him. At the same time, St. Francis appeared to two of his friars and ordered them without delay to go to the Sultan and save his soul, according to the promise he had made him. The two set out, and having crossed the sea, were conducted to the Sultan by the guards he had sent out to meet them. The Sultan, when he saw them arrive, rejoiced greatly and exclaimed, "Now I know of a truth that God has sent his servants to save my soul, according to the promise which St. Francis made me through divine revelation. Having received the faith of Christ and holy baptism from the said friars, he was regenerated in the Lord Jesus Christ, and having died of his disease, his soul was saved through the merits and prayers of St. Francis." Chapter 25. How St. Francis healed miraculously a leper, both in his body and in his soul, and what the soul said to him on going up to heaven. The true disciple of Christ, St. Francis, as long as he lived in this miserable life, endeavored with all his might to follow the example of Christ, the perfect master, whence it happened often, through the operation of grace, that he healed the soul at the same time as the body, as we read of Jesus Christ himself. And not only did he willingly serve the lepers himself, but he willed that all the brethren of his order, both when they were traveling about the world and when they were halting on their way, should serve the lepers for the love of Christ, who for our sake was willing to be treated as a leper. It happened once that in a convent near the one in which St. Francis then resided, there was a hospital for leprosy and other infirmities, served by the brethren. And one of the patients was a leper so impatient, so insupportable, and so insolent, that many believed of a certainty that he was possessed of the devil, as indeed he was. For he ill-treated with blows and words all those who served him, and what was worse, he blasphemed so dreadfully our blessed Lord and his most holy mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary, that none was found who could or would serve him. The brethren, indeed, to gain merit, endeavored to accept with patience the injuries and violences committed against themselves, but their consciences would not allow them to submit to those addressed to Christ and to his mother. Wherefore they determined to abandon this leper. But this they would not do until they had signified their intention to St. Francis, according to the rule. On learning this, St. Francis, who was not far distant, himself visited this perverse leper and said to him, "May God give thee peace, my beloved brother." To this the leper answered, "What peace can I look for from God, who has taken from me peace and every other blessing, and made me a putrid and disgusting object?" St. Francis answered, "My son, be patient, for the infirmities of the body are given by God in this world for the salvation of the soul in the next. There is great merit in them when they are patiently endured." The sick man answered, "How can I bear patiently the pain which afflicts me night and day? For not only am I greatly afflicted by my infirmity, but the friars thou hast sent to serve me make it even worse, for they do not serve me as they ought." Then St. Francis, knowing through divine revelation that the leper was possessed by the malignant spirit, began to pray, interceding most earnestly for him. Having finished his prayer, he returned to the leper and said to him, "My son, I myself will serve thee, seeing thou art not satisfied with the others." "Willingly," answered the leper, "but what canst thou do more than they have done?" "Whatsoever thou wishest, I will do for thee," answered St. Francis. "I will then," said he, "that thou wash me all over, for I am so disgusting that I cannot bear myself." Then St. Francis heated some water, putting therein some odoriferous herbs. He then undressed him and began to wash him with his own hands, whilst another brother threw the water upon him. And by a divine miracle, wherever St. Francis touched him with his holy hands, the leprosy disappeared, and his flesh was perfectly healed also. On this the leper, seeing his leprosy beginning to vanish, felt great sorrow and repentance for his sins and began to weep bitterly. While his body was being purified externally of the leprosy through the cleansing of the water, so his soul internally was purified from sin by the washing of tears and repentance. And feeling himself completely healed both in his body and his soul, he humbly confessed his sins, crying out in a loud voice with many tears, "Unhappy me, I am worthy of hell for the wickedness of my conduct to the brethren and the impatience and blasphemy I have uttered against the Lord." And for 15 days he ceased not to weep bitterly for his sins, imploring the Lord to have mercy on him, and then made a general confession to a priest. St. Francis, perceiving this evident miracle which the Lord had enabled him to work, returned thanks to God and set out for a distant country. For out of humility he wished to avoid all glory, and in all his actions he sought only the glory of God and not his own. It pleased God that the leper, who had been healed both in his body and in his soul, after having done penance for 15 days, should fall ill of another infirmity, and having received the sacraments of the church, he died a most holy death. His soul on its way to heaven appeared in the air to St. Francis, who was praying in a forest, and said to him, "Dost thou know me?" "Who art thou?" asked the saint. Said he, "I am that leper whom our blessed Lord healed through thy merits, and today I am going to life eternal, for which I return thanks to God and to thee. Blessed by thy soul and thy body, blessed by thy holy works and words, for through thee many souls are saved in the world, and know that there is not a single day in which the angels and other saints do not return thanks to God for the holy fruits of thy preaching, and that of thy order in various parts of the world. Be comforted then, and thank the Lord, and may his blessing rest on thee." Having said these words, he went up to heaven, leaving St. Francis much consoled. Chapter 26. How St. Francis converted certain robbers and assassins who became friars, and of a wonderful vision which appeared to one of them who was a most holy brother. As St. Francis went one day through the desert of Borgo di San Sepolcro, and was passing by a castle called Monte Cassale, he saw a young man of noble mien and elegant in appearance coming towards him, who thus addressed him, "Father, I would willingly be one of thy monks." St. Francis answered, "My son, thou art young, noble, and delicate. Perhaps thou wouldst not be able to endure poverty and hardship." The young man said again, "Father, are you not men like me? If you then can support these things through the grace of God, I shall be able to do so likewise." This answer greatly pleased St. Francis, and giving the young man his blessing, he received him immediately into the order and gave him the name of Brother Angelo. And this young man was so remarkable and so distinguished that shortly after he was named guardian of the convent of Monte Cassale. At that time there were three famous robbers in that part of the country who did much evil in all the neighborhood. Coming one day to the said convent, they asked Brother Angelo, the guardian, to give them something to eat. The guardian, reproving them harshly, answered thus, "Cruel robbers and murderers, you are not ashamed to deprive others of the fruits of their labors, and you have the audacity to come here and devour that which is given in charity to the servants of God. You who are not worthy of the earth which bears you, for you neither respect man nor the Lord who made you, go about your business and do not appear here again." Then the robbers went away in anger, much troubled by these words. Shortly after, St. Francis arrived at the convent with a sack of bread and a little vessel of wine, which he and his companion had begged, and the guardian related to him how he had sent away the robbers. On this, St. Francis reproved him sharply, saying that he had behaved most cruelly, for sinners are brought back to God more easily by kindness than by harsh words. "Wherefore," said he, "our Master, Jesus Christ, whose word we have promised to observe, says that the whole need not a physician, but they that are sick, and that he came not to call the just, but sinners to repentance, for which reason he often sat down to meet with them. As then thou hast acted against charity, and against the gospel of Christ, I command thee, in the name of holy obedience, to take with thee this sack of bread, which I have begged, and this little vessel of wine, and go after the robbers over the hills and across the valleys until thou meet with them. And when thou hast found them, give them from me this bread and wine. And then, kneeling down before them, thou shalt humbly confess thy fault, begging them in thy name not to do evil any more, but to fear God and never again offend him. If they consent to this, I promise to provide for all their wants, and to give them continually both meat and drink. And when thou hast told them this, thou shalt humbly come back here." Whilst the guardian went on the errand of St. Francis, the latter began to pray, asking God to touch the hearts of the robbers and bring them to repentance. The obedient guardian, having found out their retreat, presented to them the bread and wine, and said and did what St. Francis had commanded. And it pleased God that, as the robbers ate the bread of charity which St. Francis had sent them, they reasoned thus among themselves, "Alas for us, miserable men that we are! What pains await us in hell! For not only have we robbed, beaten, and wounded our neighbors, but we have likewise taken away their lives, and yet for all these cruel deeds we feel no remorse of conscience and no fear of God. And behold, this holy friar who has come to us for a few unkind words, which we merited most justly, has humbly confessed that he was wrong, and has brought us likewise bread and wine, with the most gracious promise from the holy Saint Francis. These men indeed are holy religious of God, who merit his paradise, and we are sons of perdition, worthy of the pains of hell. And each day we add to our perdition, and we know not whether yet, because of our sins we have committed hitherto, we can find mercy in the sight of God. One of them having spoken thus, the other two answered, saying, Most certainly thou speakest truly, but what are we to do? Let us go, said one of the others, Saint Francis, and if he gives us a hope that our sins may find mercy in the sight of God, we will do what he shall command us to save our souls from the punishment of hell. This counsel pleasing the others, they agreed to go immediately to Saint Francis, and having found him, they thus addressed him, Father, because of the multitude of our sins, we dare not look for mercy from God. But if thou hast a hope that he may have pity on us, we are ready to do what thou shalt order, and do penance for our sins with thee. Then Saint Francis bade them stay, and with much kindness and charity comforted them, giving them many proofs of the mercy of God, and promising them to ask the Lord to have pity on their sins. He told them that his mercy knows no bounds, and that were their sins without number, the mercy of God is even greater, according to the word of the gospel and of the apostle Saint Paul, who says, Our blessed Lord came into the world to save sinners. The three robbers, on hearing these words, resolved to renounce the devil and his works, and Saint Francis received them into the order, in which they did great penance. Two of them died shortly after their conversion and went to heaven, but the third survived, and reflecting on his sins, he did penance during 15 years. Besides the ordinary fast which he observed with the brethren, he fasted at other times 3 days in the week on bread and water, went barefooted, wore no other vestment but his tunic, and never slept after matins. During this time Saint Francis passed from this miserable life. The converted robber, having continued to do penance for many years, it so happened that one night after matins he was visited by such a strong temptation to sleep that he could neither pray nor watch according to his custom. At last, finding it impossible to resist any longer, he threw himself on his bed to sleep. No sooner had he laid down his head than he was wrapped in spirit and led up into a very high mountain, on the side of which was a deep precipice bordered with sharp stones and large rocks, all broken to pieces, so that the precipice was frightful to look at. And the angel who conducted the brother pushed him with such violence that he fell into the abyss, and rolling down from stone to stone and from rock to rock, he reached the bottom, shattered all to pieces as it seemed to him. As he lay on the ground in this pitiable condition, the angel said to him, Arise, for thou hast a much longer journey to take. And the brother answered, Thou art both cruel and unreasonable. Thou seest that I am about to die from my fall, which has shattered me all to pieces, and thou tellest me to arise. On this, the angel coming near him touched him, healing all his wounds. He then showed him an immense plain full of sharp and pointed stones, covered with thorns and brambles, and told him that he was to run all over the plain and cross it barefooted till he reached the other end, where there was a burning furnace which he was to enter. And the brother, having crossed the plain with great pain and suffering, the angel ordered him to enter the furnace, as it was meet for him to do. The brother exclaimed, Alas, what a cruel guide thou art! Thou seest that I am nearly dead, having crossed this horrible plain, and to rest me thou commandest me to enter this burning furnace. And looking up, he saw all around many demons with iron pitchforks in their hands, and as he hesitated to obey the angel, they pushed him into the furnace. When he was in the furnace, he looked around and saw one who had formerly been his companion, burning all over from head to foot, and he said to him, O, my unhappy companion, how camest thou here? And he answered, Go a little farther, and thou shalt find my wife. She will tell thee why we are damned. And then the brother, going a little farther, saw the said woman surrounded with flames, and said to her, O, unfortunate and miserable woman, why art thou condemned to suffer such a cruel torment? Because, she answered, at the time of the great famine which Saint Francis had foretold, My husband and I cheated the people and sold them wheat and oats in a false measure. It is for this that I am condemned to burn in this dreadful place." Having heard these words, the angel who conducted the brother drew him out of the furnace and said to him,